How many of you are already working on Christmas baking? Yeah. Already stocking the freezer and the pantry. We had a family friend when I was younger who devoted herself to Christmas baking for the months before Christmas, like some of you are. And she made incredible yummy treats. And her habit was to get an early start, early in the fall, and fill up her freezer in the basement, a great big deep freeze in the basement. And she would have that thing chock full, way before Christmas, ready to go. But the trouble is, she had an adult son living in the basement of their house who was just as devoted to tasting mom's treats in the freezer. He used to tell me he would go, the freezer was right at the bottom of the stairs, and so he would come home and go down the stairs and just open the freezer and open a random, you know, package and take out whatever. And that was kind of his habit. Or if he felt like it in the middle of the night, maybe he'd wander over there too and have a look. Well, how did mom not figure it out? Well, he was pretty shrewd in his planning. He knew that when his mom went down to either put more in or check on something, she never opened the packages. She couldn't see that any were missing. But she always would pick up one or two of them, just kind of feel the weight. So maybe she was suspicious after all. But he caught on to this, and he would take a book from the bookshelf and kind of stick it in where there was an empty space and make sure it weighed the same. And there were some times, we're told, where there would be family come over to the house for a visit, or perhaps at Christmas time, and she would go down to the freezer to get a cache of this food that she had lovingly made and open a package, and it would be full of books. No goodies, but just books. And of course, his name was shouted probably many times. We're devoted to a lot of things. And I've been particularly challenged the past while about being devoted particularly to prayer. That's the focus of our message today is devotion to prayer or praying faithfully. There's a great emphasis toward faithfulness in prayer in the scriptures. Many men and women have demonstrated the importance of faithfulness in prayer, not the least of which is Jesus. Even now, he is interceding for us beside the Lord, beside his Father. And I'm always being challenged about increasing in faithfulness, in devotion to prayer. It's a discipline by God's grace, I'm working on cultivating in my life. And I want to see from Paul, I want us together to see from Paul in the book of Colossians today, the expectation of God is for all who belong to him to be people of prayer, to be devoted to prayer. To be a follower of Jesus is to be devoted to prayer. One small passage today with two simple points, I trust. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. It would probably be wise to stop and ask for God's help. Lord, thank you for the chance we have to look at your word. Thank you that your word gives us clear instructions, and you give us grace and power to accomplish what you give us to do. And so I pray you'd help us to see clearly, to understand your purposes for us today, and to have hearts that are willing to obey what you say. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. To devote here means to give your strength to give constant attention to a thing is to be devoted to it. It speaks about a continuous care. That's the idea behind what Paul challenges the Colossians here with. Devote yourselves to prayer. You may have a translation that says persist or be constant, be faithful. The King James, continuing instant in prayer. Like there's a constant, continual readiness for prayer. So you can see that when you're devoted to, or what you are devoted to, or what you do persist in, has an element of, this has my care and attention. I'm giving my care and attention to this. A couple of passages in Scripture might help to illustrate this. The same word that Paul uses in Colossians 4:2 is in Acts 10:7. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it. But this is speaking about Cornelius, who had slaves who were described this way. Acts 10:7 says, when the angel who was speaking to him had left, this was the angel that said, go and get Peter and he'll come to you. Cornelius summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. That phrase, personal attendants, is our word for devoted. Devote yourself. Those were the ones who were devoted to Cornelius. Their job was to be ready for whatever need or desire he had and to jump to it, to expect to be called and to be ready. They would be constantly watching. That was their job. They were devoted to him. Another example of this is in Mark 3. Jesus is on the shore of Galilee and he's preaching, and the crowds are getting bigger. And Jesus says to his disciples in Mark 3:9, he told his disciples that a boat should stand ready for him. There's your word again, devote. A boat should stand ready for, be devoted for this purpose because of the crowd, so that they would not crowd him. This boat was set aside for, was devoted for a particular purpose. You know that it's getting to the action-filled part of the show, right? Perhaps when you hear somebody say, keep the car running. Maybe you've been fortunate enough to say that before. Keep the car running. Or wait for my signal. Those are calls to be devoted, to be watching for something. Something big is about to happen. So, and Paul's communication here in Colossians is a command. This is not a suggestion. This is what God wants. I thought, what are some things that we give attention to? What are some things that we're devoted to in our life? I thought about Desi and Alma, a new baby, right? If you've ever had the experience of having a new baby, not a movement, not a whimper, not a gurgle or a snort goes unnoticed, right? You are completely devoted to this new little baby. There's many in our church who've had that experience, especially the first few days and weeks of life. You can start to ignore those noises later on. How about that Facebook post, right? I've been guilty of this. Oh, that's a good one. I'll put that on Facebook. And then I have to check every time my phone dings. Well, maybe somebody liked what I... Or maybe they commented, or maybe they shared it. You can be devoted to things like that. Work, sports. It's good to be devoted to your work, but in the proper priority, right? Nothing wrong with being devoted to a sports team, but again, in the proper ranking, in the proper priority. Listen, folks, we can be devoted to private sin, hiding it, cultivating it, watching for opportunities to indulge. We can be devoted to sin. We can give it our strength. How about prayer? How about prayer? Can you say that you are devoted to prayer? Do you give your constant attention to prayer? Ready to pray at every moment. I want to share with you, and here's the reason why, I want to share with you a number of other passages from Scripture that touch on this idea of devotion, and here's the reason why. I think sometimes we think about devotion to prayer, this concept of devotion to prayer, as something special, as something that is, you know, set aside for really spiritual people, right? Pastors, for sure, should be devoted to prayer. You know, missionaries should be devoted to prayer. You know, we can set aside these or make up these rankings and say it makes sense for, in my mind, for this group of people to be devoted to prayer, but for the rest of us, it's kind of optional. We know from Scripture that our Savior Jesus was devoted to prayer. I've only got one passage to share with you, but I've just finished reading through the Gospels chronologically, and I was again so impressed with how often the writers mentioned Jesus giving attention to prayer. Luke 5:16, I think, captures Jesus' attitude toward prayer. Jesus was devoted to prayer. Luke 5:16 says, "But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray." Well, Pastor Greg, that's Jesus, right? The early church was devoted to prayer. You're familiar with a couple of passages early in the book of Acts. Acts 1:14 describes the disciples and those with them. After Christ had ascended to heaven and they were expecting the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:14 says, "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Acts 2:42 broadens that a little bit, and it talks about not just the disciples, but Peter preaches this wonderful sermon. 3,000 souls are added to the church. And Luke says, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." The early church was devoted to prayer. The early apostles prioritized devotion to prayer. Later on in Acts, the needs of the church are getting weightier and heavier, and they see a need to select some deacons to care for that. And the purpose listed is in chapter 6, verse 4, "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The early apostles prioritized devotion to prayer. But Paul, in Paul's writings, in two specific places and in a couple of instances, maybe not quite as specific, Paul emphasized faithfulness in prayer, devotion to prayer, as a natural, practical outflow of the Christian life, not something that's set aside for holy Christians or special Christians. Hear our passage, Colossians 4:2, "Devote yourselves to prayer." Romans 12 and verse 12. Romans 12 is just like Colossians 4 is part of Paul's teaching, where he's laying out these practical outworkings of the Christian life. This is how Christians will operate. And what does he include there in chapter 12, verse 12? Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, constant in prayer. He talks in a couple of other places in maybe not quite as specific terms. He explains Epaphras in Colossians chapter 4, who was one of the church at Colossae, and he describes him as always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers. That was Epaphras' testimony. Colossians 1:9, Paul even says of himself and the others he includes in the greeting in his letter. For this reason also, since the day, Colossians 1:9, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. In 2 points from our text here in Colossians 4, the first one is very simple. To be a follower of Jesus is to be devoted to prayer. One preacher said it this way, based on all these texts, right? We've just looked at all these texts. Based on all these texts, it is not extraordinary, but normal Christian life to be devoted to prayer. Of the 10 times that the word devote is used in Scripture, half of them are given in reference to prayer. It is God's expectation that his children be devoted to prayer. This is a convicting thought. This is a challenging word. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. Be devoting yourselves. Continue. Give attention. Well, who's Paul writing to? I've kind of already pointed this out, but who's Paul writing to? He's writing to Colossian Christians, right? He's writing to the whole church. In fact, take a quick look back up at chapter 3, if you're back in Colossians. And the passage answers the question, who's he writing to? Look at verse 18. Wives. Look at verse 19. Husbands. Verse 20. Children. 21. Fathers. 22. Slaves. Chapter 4, verse 1, masters. Paul's including all people of all walks of life who know the Lord as Savior in this command to pray faithfully, devotedly. Well, what is he asking them? What does prayer look like? Do you ever ask yourself that question? Maybe you were not raised in a Christian home, or with a mother or father to watch in the habit of prayer, to watch in the discipline of prayer. Maybe before you came to know Christ, you never heard anybody pray before. What is Paul talking about? Maybe your idea of prayer has come from a story that you heard or a movie that you watched. E.M. Bounds says this, prayer is communion and intercourse with God. It is enjoyment of God. It is access to God. This is the privilege of prayer that we have as children of God. Prayer is talking to God, whether audibly or in our minds and hearts, and it takes shape in several different ways in Scripture, whether prayers are long or short, whether they're out loud or silent, whether they're on your knees at your bedside or walking in the park. Prayer is how we share with God our thanks, our confession of sin, our requests, and our worship. One writer has classified what he believed to be the elements of prayer into these 5 categories, and I'm not sure that we can condense prayer into 5 specific categories, but it's helpful to think about it this way. And these are the 5: adoration, confession, intercession, petition, and thanksgiving. That's how he classified the elements of prayer. And and I think it's helpful. Adoration is praise, right? When Jesus instructed the disciples and gave them the example prayer, how did he begin? Our Father, holy is your name. You begin with adoration, praise. A key part of prayer is confession. Confession is agreeing with God about my sin. Yes, yes, Lord, that's true of me. Intercession, prayer on behalf of another. Even more than that, though, intercession speaks to just a freedom in prayer. That's maybe the access to God. And we'll maybe touch on that in a later message. Petition, that's prayer for my needs and for others' needs. And the word supplication we may come across, that's tied into petition. It's more intense prayer. And then, of course, the last one, thanksgiving. Pretty self-explanatory, giving thanks for all Jesus has done. Paul says, pray. Talk to God. Well, when? Well, anytime. Anytime you want to. Any place you want to. I wrote down this question, why? And we could come up with many, many, many reasons why. And I think I want to focus on the primary reason. The primary reason is God tells us to pray. He commands us to pray. Jesus in the early church exemplified it. We saw that. If you look at verses 3 and 4 in this context, Paul gives another why for prayer, and that's for the gospel spread. That's another reason. And there's myriad reasons why we pray in Scripture. Many, many more motivations. But none more important than God's expectation. God's command. Be devoted to prayer. Pray with devotion, with constant attention. So, if I'm devoted to prayer, does that mean we think of the concept of pray without ceasing, right? If I'm devoted to prayer, does that mean that all I do 24/7 is pray? That's what God expects of me, that I'm just get camel knees, I'm always on my knees in prayer. I quit my job to pray. I don't talk to my family anymore because I need to pray. You know the answer, right? That's not the case. Think about devotion. I'm devoted to my wife. Does that mean I only spend time with Christy? The only person in the world that I talk to is Christy? Maybe Christy would be like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. We know that's not how it works, right? I'm devoted to Christy, but I work and I sleep and I build relationships and I hunt and, you know, I read books. But in all those other activities, there is a priority of devotion to this woman. And so that means if I'm living out priorities well, I don't allow work to take more than is good for my relationship with Christy because I'm devoted to her. It means that I don't allow hunting to take a higher importance than is good for my relationship with Christy. So I got to make sure I ask, you know. I'm careful in developing relationships so that my most important earthly relationship remains in good health and growing. Devotion does not mean that's it, that's all you do and all you think about. It means that takes a number one priority. And everything else flows from that. And I think the same is true with devotion to prayer. Everything else in my life is aligned correctly when I am doing what God wants in prayer, when I am devoted to Him in prayer. When I'm devoted to prayer, my marriage and work and leisure and ministry and Bible study are all worked out of a heart that has first been at the feet of God. And I think that's what Paul's getting at when he's talking about devotion to prayer. It may be the single most important thing in the life of a Christian. So Paul says, pray faithfully, pray devotedly, but then he says two other things in verse 2, the last point in our lesson. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, or with thanksgiving. Here's Paul's second point. The first was to be a follower of Jesus is to be devoted to prayer. His second point is to be devoted to prayer is to be ready to pray and grateful to pray. A person who's devoted to praying will have a prayer life characterized by these two attitudes: alert in it and thankful. Ready to pray, grateful to pray. This is a fun word. Keep alert in it, Paul says, or be watchful. This word is where my name comes from, the Greek word gregoreo. I think that's pretty cool. So I need to remember what my name means when it comes to prayer. Stay awake. Be watchful in it. Keep alert in it. Don't be distracted. Don't fall asleep on your watch. Paul says, be alert in devotion to prayer. And then he says this second, with an attitude of thanksgiving. In thanksgiving, or through thanksgiving, even by thanksgiving, the giving of thanks to God for his blessings. And this demonstrates humility. It demonstrates dependence. It demonstrates worship. It could be that Paul's emphasis here is thanksgiving is what drives this devotion to prayer. When your heart is truly thankful to the Lord, can you help but pray? Have you ever had that experience when you count your blessings and you think about the ways that God has just showered you with grace, like Ephesians 1 that was read this morning? Thankfulness drives devotion to prayer. Paul says it's key. You've got to have it. So God's will is for you and I to pray faithfully, watching and thankful. God wants you to pray. And I love this quote by E.M. Bounds, who wrote much on prayer. He said, every true attempt to pray is in response to the will of God. God wants you to pray, right? So every true attempt to pray is a heart in response to the will of God. Bungling it may be, and untutored by human teachers, but it is acceptable to God because it is in obedience to his will. Awesome. God's design for his followers is for us to pray faithfully. Now, I just want to touch on a bit of application here as we close. Developing discipline in prayer is hard. Is anybody on my team in that one? It's hard. We're selfish. We're easily distracted. We're afraid of hard work. What are some things we can do to make being devoted to prayer a reality? What are some practical ways that we can have this continued focus and attention given to prayer? Number one, pray for God to help you be devoted to prayer. You say, well, duh, that's pretty simple. Yeah, that's right. Pray for God to help you to be devoted to prayer. He wants you to do it. He will help you. I love this about our Lord. I haven't looked at every command in Scripture, so this may not be true every case, but the ones that I've looked at, I've seen this pattern, and it's so lovely. It's so wonderful. Sometimes as a parent, I tell my kids, do this, and I don't give them a reason why, and I don't give them an example of how to do it, and I don't even give them resources to do it. I just say, do it. God is not like that. when God gives us a command, think about this. He says, I want you to be devoted to prayer. And then he gives us his Holy Spirit who dwells within our hearts. Romans 8 tells us when we don't have the words to pray, he prays for us. He gives us understanding. He helps us see what God's word is for us. So God gives us the command. He gives us the help, the Holy Spirit. He gives us the model. He lays out in Scripture a number of different models, but Christ, for sure, Jesus himself would often slip away and pray. So trust God to answer that prayer. That is a prayer he would love to answer. Pray for God to make you devoted to prayer. Number two, this has been helpful for me. Have some order or structure. If I go into prayer without some order, I can be distracted so quickly. And 10 minutes later, I'm like, "Where? What am I doing?" So if that helps you, make a list. We remember Taco Tuesday, right? Because it's catchy. Well, how about Missionary Monday? I don't know. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be that corny. But make a list. Have some order. Have some structure. Whatever works best for you to help you stay on target, have some structure. I've recently been challenged about this application, and I've begun to do it in small ways. Pray the Bible. We've had this instruction from Pastor Miller a number of times. Pray the Bible. The Bible is full of prayers. And you don't even have to just pray prayers. Pray through the Psalms. The whole book of Psalms is a book of prayer. Pray through the Psalms. Pray New Testament prayers from Paul or other writers. We just, on Wednesday night, focused our prayer time on missionaries, praying for missionaries. And our text was one of the passages that we can pray for missionaries, that God would open a door, that they may speak forth the word boldly. We can pray Scripture. That helps us know how to pray. I've begun to do this, like I said, in small ways, and it changes the way I pray for others. Think about this. Instead of, Lord, bless so-and-so. Oh, we're so guilty of the blessing we give. We don't even know what that means, bless so-and-so. We can pray, God, I know that you cause all things to work together for good. Your word tells us that. Would you cause this situation to work out for good for so-and-so? That's so simple, but it keeps you organized in your thoughts, and you're using the word of God to bend the ear of God, if I can say that. And then one final application, develop an attitude of thanksgiving. This, I think, is so key. Like I said again, I think thanksgiving drives devotion to prayer. Pastor Miller's father, Dr. Tony Miller, has often said that giving thanks is the antidote to any sin habit. That's a little bit off topic, but I think you'll see where I'm going with that. Giving thanks is powerful. Powerful. It will free you from sin. And you have always, if I can use this cliche, you have always got something to be thankful for. Just stop and think about it for a minute. Cultivate, develop an attitude of thanksgiving. Don't neglect an attitude of thanksgiving. It will drive you to talk to God. So I hope those applications are helpful in developing the discipline of prayer. Some of you are experts in this, and you've probably got 3 or 4 more suggestions you could offer. Are you devoted to prayer? Would you please bow your heads this morning? To be a follower of Jesus is to be devoted to prayer. God's design for his followers is for them to pray faithfully. And maybe you are one of those people I just referenced. Maybe you're a prayer warrior. God has grown you in a devotion to prayer and a habit of faithful communion with Him. By His grace, you are walking in obedience to what He wants, to His desires. If that's you, pray for God to keep you faithful. Pray to God to grow others in our church family in this discipline. Look for someone that you can mentor in this area and help bring them along. Maybe you're in the process of learning and growing. You wouldn't call yourself a prayer warrior, but it's an area you're working on and you're growing in your devotion to prayer. Maybe it's been an up and down process. Maybe the devotion wanes and distractions take over. If that's the case, confess to God and seek His face to grow in obedience to this high calling. Pray for God to make you faithful in prayer and be disciplined. Be disciplined in it. Maybe you're here today and you're just new to the faith. You're just learning about the importance of prayer. God wants you to devote yourself to prayer. It doesn't matter if you're a man or woman, a boy or a girl, a senior or a child. Devoted prayer to God is His design for those who belong to Him. Determine today through prayer to obey God's plan for you. The simple question as we close today, will you obey God by devoting yourself to prayer?